again to the Townsville Feminist Stories podcast. My name is Chantal Oxenham, and I am a member of the Townsville Feminist Collective. In this podcast, I am in conversation with some of the women from the Townsville Feminist Collective who, along with myself, undertook to write an e-book which we called Collective Memories, Feminism in Townsville, 1975 to 2025. With me today to charge the process of writing that book are Judith Threlfall, Betty McLellan, Coralie McLean, Noni Harris, and Pauline Woodbridge, all long-time feminists in Townsville. Over the years, I have been involved in many local feminist projects, including organizing and delivering a number of large women's conferences, forums, and presentations, several with international participation. In addition, I have a long-standing interest in modern history, so this project really resonated well with me. So, what about you, Betty? What attracted you to the idea of working on this book, and why was it important to you to be involved?
Well, you know, I looked around at the world at the time and thought, the world is in a mess. And then I looked back at the liberation movements of the 1960s when we had such high hopes of human rights that would be available to all. And then I look at the world and I thought, well, that's not going to happen. So what we need to do is write our own feminist history so at least that will not be lost. That was the thing that really attracted me to the project. And personally, in relation to the second part of your question, I'm the oldest in the group and getting towards the end of my life. And I realised that towards the end of your life, you either live in despair and depression, or you live with hope and everything comes together and you just feel really satisfied with what you've done in your life. And this was such a wonderful opportunity for me to look back at my own feminist history and bring it all together. So for me, it's been so, personally, it's been so important to do that.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Noni?
Yes, I think it was really important to me to tell feminist history, particularly in a place like Townsville. I think it's incredibly easy for us to imagine that the services that we have today, the understandings that we have about women's role, has just sort of come from nowhere, that it was appeared somehow, and to not think about what particularly women did when they worked so hard to make these things come to fruition. I think it's really easy for women's history to be lost, for women's efforts to be lost, and particularly in a regional place like Townsville. Unless Townsville women take the baton and say, this is what we've achieved, please let that be something that's a lesson for you as the women of Townsville move forward.
The concept of writing the book as a collective of seven was an interesting one. How did you find that work for you, Judith?
Thanks, Chantal. It worked very well for me, even though at the very beginning I was really quite nervous about the process. I'd never participated and I've never been very good at doing things in a group. So the first thing that occurred to me was I could feel very safe because the other women that were in this collective were people that I respected. I had knowledge of their skills and their experiences, and to be actually part of doing this together was very exciting for me. Very early in the process, it became very clear that there was a lot of skill, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy in the group, and for me that became very exciting, very worthwhile, and I was very pleased to be doing this with a group.
And Pauline, do you agree?
I do agree. And one of the things that's interesting to reflect or to note is that the history of the everything that's described in the e-book is based on collectives. So all of the work, when you read through the chapters, you can see that women came together as a collective with equal decision-making, bringing their own skills and knowledge. And that's particularly true of the women's services. When they got set up, they were run as collective. Unfortunately, they were forced by various outside efforts, funds, things like funding bodies and media and so on, to change to a more hierarchical structure. But at the time, it really was about working together in collectives with collective values.
The book draws primarily on our own memories, our past files and records and discussions we had with lots of other women. We don't claim to have captured all the feminist activism that occurred in Townsville over that period. But I think we ended up covering a pretty broad range of activities. Don't you, Noni?
I absolutely think that we do. When you get the exciting moment of actually reading the book, you will notice that there are six different chapters in the book. The first one begins in 1975 because, remember, we're covering 50 years of feminist history. So from 1975 to 2025. And we begin by looking at feminist politics and activism. What did the International Year of Women mean for the beginning of our understanding of what we could do in our communities? Then we look at sites of feminist knowledge. So, for example, what did it mean to have a university newly established in Townsville? Also in this chapter, we look at Mary Hu Bookshop, which is an independent bookstore in Townsville with a really long history of engaging with women and supporting women's causes. We looked at the Townsville Women's Conferences, so which I can remember going to the 1981 conference in Townsville and how inspiring that was. All the conferences that I was fortunate to attend were inspiring. And so you get to have a bit of a feel of what it was like to attend those conferences. In the fourth chapter, we looked at community programs, lectures, forums, seminars, and workshops. So outside of conferences, what were our opportunities to learn about feminism and to explore our feminist knowledge and to grow that knowledge? In chapter five, we look at creativity, culture, and performance. So it's not just about being serious. It's about using the arts, using song, using plays to really engage with community and actually just to have fun as feminist women together. In the final chapter, we look at women's services for women by women. So what were the services that feminists established or were critical to establishing in Townsville? For example, the domestic violence service, the women's centre. So that just gives you a very brief snapshot of what we cover in the book.
And was there anything else different or special about what you included in the book, Coralie?
Well, I think there was, Chantal. As Nadi said, there was quite a range of things that we wanted to cover in depth. But because this was going to be an e-book, we knew we had the opportunity to do it all a little bit differently. So we wanted to include the words of women wherever we could. We wanted to include the names of women wherever we could. So what we did was we sought input from people who'd been there, and we actually set up their words as reflections. So we've got whole segments in the book that give you first-person reflections from the women who had been there, or maybe just little snippets of things that they thought were important that they remembered from that time. And I think that makes the whole thing come alive. It adds colour to the book. It adds personal voices to the book, which we thought was very important. We also realised when we looked at so much of this history, our story,
that we couldn't neglect the women who'd come before us. So we looked at that decade or so before the book started and said, you know, Townsville was quite a small town comparatively, but there were some big voices. So we wanted to represent maybe not all of the women. We did our best to sort of identify those women who'd done things that warranted, you know, us sort of mentioning in the book. And so we've got a list of them, and we've tried to set that in a setting where we also describe some of the things that were happening in Townsville at that time to just remind us of how different things were. So it was important for us to do that in our book, and we hope that that might also encourage others in the future to not only sort of record their story, but remember the women on whose sort of shoulders future generations will stand. So we hope there will be, you know, a woman river flowing on.
Thank you, yes. And I've been thinking of some of the challenges we faced, particularly given we were publishing the book online and doing it ourselves. Right from the beginning, we decided that it would be a free ebook, so at least we didn't have to, you know, be worried about the financial implications and all the rest of it. So that was a very good decision that we made. Because, of course, there were many legal issues that most of us were absolutely not aware of. Like, if you've never written a book or even had an article published in a journal, you wouldn't know about the nitty-gritty of copyright and privacy and what you can say, what you can't say, and, you know, how where you have to go and ask for permission to reproduce something that is available to everyone anyway, but you can't put it in the book if you don't have the permission. So I think this was very interesting to me to see that there is all that going on too in the publication of a book. What else comes to mind for you, Judith?
There are a number of things. The first thing that I thought of often was, this is too hard. I didn't know it was going to be as complicated as this. Why are all these barriers being put in our way of telling our story? And it made me aware that they were probably the reasons why there weren't a history already written. And it gave us the strength, I suppose, or the determination to forge through this, to get on with it and to learn. We were very fortunate, I think, that a number of women in the group had particular skills, and Marie comes to mind immediately. Her skills as an editor were not available to everybody. I don't think we will have produced such a wonderful product without the calm guidance that we had from Marie, and her calm personality also helped us, particularly me, who I'm sure people were very aware of my eye rolling every time we came across somewhat I thought was a nonsense for standing in our way to publish things. But I certainly learned a lot about the ways that we needed to go so that the important story was told. It took longer than we expected because of this, and it would have been easy to give up and say it's all too hard, but we didn't. We were all determined and we all had each other's backs. It took more than 2 years. In that time, life happens. So we're all there for each other during periods of time where other bits of life got in the road. And that was very reassuring that if something happened, you weren't letting the team down, because the team, the collective was there, and you were just one very small part of it. So I think they're an important aspect of why a collective approach to a project like this is very important.
And there were learnings too for ourselves and perhaps for others wanting to do something like this. Don't you think so, Pauline?
Well, that's true, and as Judith described, there was many challenges. However, there was also lots of fun. We met around a kitchen table and we all worked together. There was skills that people had, the research that we did with other people. the excitement when something unexpected came up and someone would say, I've found a name, I've made contact with them, they're prepared to write something, and kept us all going week or month after month as we met and all the work we did in between. So that was a very exciting period for us to be discovering and learning about ourselves and our schools. But the beaute thing was all of us brought so much that filled the gaps for others within that collective meeting, as Judith described. We all learnt and supported each other.
When it all finally came together, we held a book launch accompanied by a performance that drew on stories from the book. That was a wonderful event. How did you think it went, Judith?
It was just wonderful. For me, we'd finished the book, or almost. The excitement of it really didn't hit me until Betty wrote a play. I can't call it a play any longer. It was a piece of art. It was performance art, and it brought a soul to our book. And I thank Betty deeply for that. For me, it made the whole process come to life. It was wasn't a full stop at the end of the project. It was just an encouragement to take the project as it was meant to be, a piece of life of the feminist women of Townsville. And I think by being able to share it in that way with a larger group of people, and to finally include more closely the other women from the feminist collective who participated in the piece of performance, I felt it brought it home. And it was a great start to presenting our piece of work to the rest of Townsville.
And Betty, as the playwright?
Well, Chantal, I just want to say thank you, Judith, for those words about the play. I mean, it really was a fun thing to do, wasn't it? Look, I can tell you this. I wrote the play, but if you've ever worked with a bunch of feminist, strong feminist women, the play didn't stay exactly as I had written it because there was, I think we can change this, and I think we can, oh, what about we do this and what about... So in the end, it kind of was a collaboration, and that's what made it so good, I think. It was very exciting. And then to finish up with the play that we were all involved in was just a wonderful finish, wasn't it, as Jude said?
Yes. Do you want to add something, Pauline? Yes.
I did want to add to Betty's description of the play. We had a huge audience, standing room only, and they were so supportive and they really added to the atmosphere.
So that's very good, yes. I think all women involved did a great job to really bring that performance evening together. Well, thank you all for your contribution today. Now, the e-book, Collective Memories, Feminism in Townsville, 1975 to 2025, is available online through the local history section of the Townsville Library website. Happy reading!